Forced Migration Review, Issue 59, October 2018. Language and the Guiding Principles, by Ellie Kemp. There needs to be more attention paid to the languages and communication needs of those at risk of experiencing and recovering from internal displacement. A case study from Nigeria brings the issues to life and challenges the international community to do better. The role of language in upholding the rights of internally displaced people, IDPs, is very often overlooked, yet attention to language and communication is central to the guiding principles on internal displacement. End note 1. The guiding principles explicitly mention IDPs' right to communicate in a language they understand as a component of non-discrimination, Principle 22. They also recognise the right to an education that respects the cultural identity, language and religion of the people concerned, Principle 23. IDP's right to receive information in a language they understand is implied in several other principles. People should be fully informed on the reasons and procedures for their displacement and give their free and informed consent to displacement not triggered by an emergency, Principles 7b and c, and the rights to request and receive protection and humanitarian assistance, Principle 3, to return or resettle voluntarily and to participate in planning those processes, Principle 28, also cannot be met without considering language needs. Some individuals face particular language challenges. For example, certain groups may have had fewer opportunities to learn to read, access digital technology, or master a second or third language. For them, the language, format, written graphic or audio, and channel of communication, word of mouth, paper or digital, are critical. Addressing their requirements is essential for the participation of women in planning and managing relocation measures, Principle 7D, aid delivery, Principle 18, and meeting the special needs of children, certain groups of women, and elderly and displaced people, Principle 4. The humanitarian response to the needs of IDPs in northeast Nigeria provides a case study on how great a barrier language can be without proper provision, and what practical steps the humanitarian community can take to overcome that barrier. End note 2. Language diversity challenges in Nigeria. Imagine you are managing a program of support to IDPs in northeast Nigeria. There are more than 500 mother tongues in the country, including 28 in Borno State alone. Most national staff are native Hausa speakers. Some speak Kanuri, the dominant language of Borno and the surrounding area. Senior managers report that interviews with IDPs often entail a four-stage translation between English, Hausa, and Kanuri, and another local language that they are not confident of having an accurate analysis of needs and priorities. Focus group discussions are held in Hausa and Kanuri because those are the languages your team members speak. Some IDPs cannot participate because they do not speak those languages, as staff have no way of knowing how many IDPs cannot communicate in those dominant languages. You worry that potentially life-saving information on issues like disease prevention and eligibility for assistance is not getting through to all those who need it. Even getting information out in Hausa and Kanuri is problematic. You ask Hausa and Kanuri speakers on your team to translate key messages and others to translate them back into English so you can check for accuracy, but that is slow. Your team trained some IDPs as community mobilisers to facilitate two-way communication in other local languages, but you have no way of checking how good their understanding of the Kanuri translation is, how accurately they render it in their own language, or whether the community mobilisers are meeting the language needs of all IDPs in each location. You ask yourself, how easily are displaced people able to claim their rights to protection and assistance? Are the most vulnerable individuals able to communicate their needs or report discrimination or abuse? If the host community and the IDPs do not speak the same language, are we unintentionally fueling tensions between them by communicating in one rather than the other? It is an aid worker's nightmare. You don't have sufficient information about the languages people speak and understand, and even if you did, you would lack the resources to communicate in those languages. You fear that you might not be fully upholding the rights set out in the guiding principles despite your best intentions. From an IDP's perspective, the situation is frustrating for aid workers, but it can be humiliating and terrifying.